to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Proverbs 14, as the nursery workers and children's church workers and children are excused, the rest of us open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14, I'll begin reading at verse number 12. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. I'd like to give special attention to verse 14, particularly the first part of that verse. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Let's stop and pray. Heavenly Father, help me do my best to preach this message today. I pray it'll be helpful, particularly for the backslidden, but even as a warning to those who are not backslidden, because I think each and every one of us has that bent towards backsliding, and if we're not careful, we could easily start to backslide. Lord, I also want to pray for the unsaved. Certainly, we would not put them in the same category as the backslidden because they got nowhere to backslide from. They're not even saved. So I pray first and foremost they'll be saved even today, that they'll recognize they need to be born again, recognize that they're lost, recognize they need to get saved by the grace of God, and you'll save them even today. So have your way now in this preaching service. May the Lord Jesus Christ be magnified and exalted, for it's in his name we pray all these things. May the Spirit of God fill me and give me the right words to say and not to say what shouldn't be said. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It has always amazed me. In fact, I was just talking to Sister Phyllis about this before Sunday school. It's always amazed me that my most popular message on sermon audio is called Return from Backsliding. Way ahead of all the other ones. Even though it was preached many years ago, it's still gets many downloads. Each month we get reports. It's still at the top of the charts, you might say, to use a worldly term. But this indicates that backsliding is a big problem. Otherwise, why would that message be so popular? In fact, I get many emails from backsliders. I get phone calls from backsliders. Some of these emails are from around the world, from backsliders, asking for advice and telling me they feel terrible about their backslidden condition. And unfortunately, this church has had a problem with backsliders over the years. We've had a good number over the years. Should say a bad number over the years. It's always been a problem. Now, I suppose before I go any further, I should stop for a moment and explain what I mean by the term backslider. Because I realize the word is used different ways by different people. I want to make sure we're all understand here what I mean by the term backslider. I am referring to people who come to church, make a profession of faith. You say that they get saved. Only God knows, but I think many times they do get saved. They get baptized. And then after a while, and it varies how long of a while. For some people, it's not long at all. For some, it's a few years later. But after a while, they go back into the world. And they start living like a worldly person. In fact, you can't tell some backslidden Christians apart from unsaved people. They look like them, talk like them, act like them. You can't really tell them apart. Dress like them. Listen to the same sorry music. Even some backsliders even start cursing and using God's name in vain. And before you know it, you can't tell them apart from an unsaved person. Like the prodigal son, they often wind up in the hog pen. Now, I will say this about the prodigal son. At least he came out of the hog pen. He climbed out. Luke 15, 17 says he came to himself. But some backsliders don't come to themselves. They don't repent. They don't come out of the hog pen. They stay in the hog pen, and then they die a miserable death. And that's heartbreaking. Some backsliders just get so comfortable in the hog pen, and they die a miserable death right there in that sloppy, messy, disgusting hog pen. They die a terrible death, dejected, depressed, desolate, despondent, disconsolate, dismal, distressed, doleful, downcast, disgraceful. I'm running out of synonyms with the start with D. Lamentable, pathetic, pitiful, shabby, shameful, sordid, wretched. In fact, one of the things I hate to do as a pastor is preach a funeral for a backslider. I've done a few over the years. It's terrible having to preach a backslider's funeral. What do you say? Everybody knows he's backslidden. I'm not going to lie. Oh, he was a godly Christian. I wish our church had more men like him. No, I don't. If we had more men like that, we'd have to close down. We'd lose the building. We couldn't pay the mortgage. If we had more backsliders in this church. So what am I going to say about a backslider? And beloved, there's no neutral ground in the Christian life. We're either moving forward or we're going backwards. You got that? There's no neutrality. You can get in your car and put it in park and just stay still. You can't do that in a Christian life. We're either sliding back, whoa, or you're going forward. Amen? Keep that in mind. No neutrality. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. If you're not with them, you're against them. Now, some backsliders don't like it when you put it like that. Well, that's kind of rough. I'm not against Jesus. Well, then how come you're backslidden? How come you stop coming to church? How come you don't read your Bible? How come you're living just like the devil's crowd? Tell me, Mr. Backslider. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Matthew 12:30. The Lord Jesus said to lukewarm backsliders in the church of Laodicea, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Revelation 3:16. Doesn't those words kind of shake you up a little bit? That the Lord Jesus is talking to a church, and he goes, you're so backslidden. You're so wishy-washy. You make me sick. I'm going to spew you out. That's how our Lord feels about backslidden Christians. He wants to spit them up. Now, it grieves me when I see Christians get into a backslidden condition. It grieves me when people tell me they see photographs of some of our backslidden church members on Facebook. At worldly parties, hanging out with worldly people, dressed immodestly, and so on. It grieves me when they should be in God's house on the Lord's Day, but they're out in the world. It grieves me. And if it grieves me, and if it grieves godly people, think about how it grieves God. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. And backsliders are guilty of that. Guilty of grieving the Holy Spirit, grieving of quenching the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. But backsliders do quench the Spirit. By their cold indifference. By their selfishness. By their carnality. By their worldliness. They quench the Spirit. Well, that was just my intro. Let me give you my outline here. First, we're going to look at the cause of backsliding. Secondly, the results of backsliding. Then thirdly, the cure for backsliding. There is a cure. It's not a terminal disease where there's no cure. There's hope for the backslider. But certainly the backslider has to recognize he's backslidden and want to do something about it. But there's a cure. So the cause of backsliding, the results of backsliding, and the cure for backsliding. First, let's look at the cause of backsliding. There's a commentary in the book of Proverbs that I've always enjoyed, written by a name named William Arnott. It's an old book. He said, if the secret history of backsliders were written, many startling discoveries would be made. Whatever the enormity it may end in, backsliding begins unseen in the heart. Well, that's a good statement right there. Whatever the enormity it may end up in, it begins. Backsliding begins unseen in the heart. The Christian in name, whose fall resounds through the land, filling the mouths of scorners with laughter and suffusing the faces of disciples with shame, did not descend to that depth by one leap from the high place on which he formerly stood. He does not by a sudden resolution of mind turn from virtue into vice. In other words, what he's saying is it's gradual. Backsliding is gradual. Archibald Alexander said, backsliding occurs when the Christian is gradually led off from close walking with God. He loses the lively sense of divine things. He becomes too much attached to the world and too much occupied with secular concerns. Until at length the keeping of the heart is neglected, prayer and the seeking of the Lord in private are omitted or slightly performed, zeal for the advancement of the gospel is quenched, and many things once rejected by a sensitive conscience are now indulged and defended. All this may take place and continue long before the person is aware of his danger or acknowledges that there has been any serious departure from God. Did you notice what Alexander said, that all this can take place and continue long before the person is even aware that he's backslidden, before he's even aware of his danger, before he acknowledges that there's been any serious departure from the Lord. So backsliding is gradual and it's dangerous. And as William Arnott said, it begins unseen in the heart. The backslider neglects reading his Bible. He neglects praying. Little by little, he's gradually backsliding. He starts skipping Sunday night services. Before you know it, he's skipping Wednesday night and Sunday school, and he stops coming Sunday morning too. Little by little. Skip a service here, skip a service there. Before you know it, he doesn't feel guilty about skipping church altogether. Doesn't bother him at all. At first, maybe he felt a little guilty about that, uncomfortable about that. He knows he ought to be in God's house with God's people. But after missing a few weeks, before you know it, he's comfortable. He's comfortable in his backslidden condition. Backsliding begins unseen in the heart. Proverbs 14:14 says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ends." Arnott said, whatever the enormity it may end up in, backsliding begins unseen in the heart. The Bible warns us many times, repeatedly, of the danger of neglect. Neglect of prayer, neglect of private devotions, neglect of Bible reading, neglect of church attendance, neglect of witnessing for God, sharing the gospel, neglect of discipline. An undisciplined Christian is sure to backslide. Mark my words. Beloved, the Christian life is a disciplined life. And if you're not going to live a disciplined life, you're not going to succeed as a Christian. You're going to start to backslide. Each, and here's something that we need to consider too. Each and every Christian has a bent toward backsliding. Do you know that? Now you might be thinking, not me. No way, not me. Yes, you and me. Each and every one of us has a bent. It's in us. A bent towards backsliding. You better understand this and deal with it. We're all in danger. Now, obviously, for some people, that bent is much stronger. I understand that. But nevertheless, we all have this bent towards backsliding. The Lord says this in Hosea 11:7, "And my people are bent to backsliding from me." You know what he said? My people. He doesn't say those heathens. He doesn't say those wicked sinners. Because my people, God's people, he says, are bent to backsliding from me. We all have that bent. There are sinful inclinations in the heart of each and every one of us. There are sinful inclinations in the heart of every man. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Or you could say, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, standing firm, take heed lest he backslide." There are some Christians, and I hate to say this, but I have to be frank with you today because this is such a serious subject. There are some Christians I thought would never backslide, but they did. When they got backslidden, I was shocked. If you would have told me before they started backsliding, that guy's going to backslide, I'd say, no, not him or not her, no. No way, Jose. No. I don't believe it. They did. They got backslidden. Because that bent is there. It's there. Now, when we consider the cause of backsliding, we need to consider three key words. And I think some of you know what those three key words are before I even say them. Three key words when we consider the cause of backsliding. Three key words are this: the world, flesh, and the devil. There you have it right there. Let's look at the world. First, the world allures the backslider. The backslider is attracted by the things of the world. Just like a little children's attracted to a shiny toy or a piece of candy, the backslider's allured with the world and the things of the world. To the backslider, the world seems like fun and exciting. Some backsliders start to think the Christian life is dull and unexciting and boring. Archibald Alexander said the backslider becomes too much attached to the world and too much occupied with secular concerns. What does the Bible say? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if you say you love God, but you love the world, you're wrong. The Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't have it both ways. Make up your mind whose side you're on. The backslider hasn't figured it out yet. He still professes to be a Christian, but he loves the world. Love not the world. The Bible's very clear on that. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, these words are written on his tombstone. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The enemy of God. If you're worldly, if you're a friend of the world, my Bible says you're the enemy of God. A backslider is an enemy of God. What a terrible indictment. Well, while the world allures the backslider, while the world entices the backslider and attracts the backslider, the flesh weakens him. He's weakened. The flesh is weakened. He weakens the backslider. 2 Peter 2:18 says, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. The Lord Jesus warned, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Listen, the flesh is weak. It's always going to be weak. And if you're not careful, you're going to yield to the flesh. You'll be walking in the flesh. You start walking in the flesh, guess what? You're backslidden. You can't be living right. You can't be living for God and be walking in the flesh. It's impossible. You start walking in the flesh, you are backslidden. The flesh is weak. Watch and pray. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But the backslider stops watching. And he stops praying. And he repeatedly yields to the flesh and walks in the flesh. Then, pardon me, the backslider is prayerless. He's prayerless. Doesn't have a prayer life. He forgot how to pray. He's prayerless. He's selfish. Slothful, lazy. The Apostle Paul said, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And Paul said this, and when I would do good, evil is present with me. What did Paul mean by that? Evil is present with me. There's that bent towards backsliding. It's there. You know, when you got saved, when you were born again, the flesh didn't totally disappear. It's still there. And so you got to be careful. And you got to walk in the Spirit. And you can't yield to the flesh. Make no provision for the flesh, the Bible says. But the backslider is walking in the flesh, you see. He's allured with the world. He's walking in the flesh. And, was there a third key word? The devil. The backslider is deceived by the devil. He's deceived. The devil has blinded his mind and conceived him and confused him and got him all mixed up. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be sober. He's talking to Christians here, by the way. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Let me stop. Think about that now. Peter's talking to Christians. He says, be careful, be sober. Thinking right. Sober doesn't necessarily mean don't drink alcohol, though it certainly includes that. It means be clear in your thinking. Don't be mixed up. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Like Jesus said, watch and pray. Because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. That means the devil devours Christians. He devours them. Destroys them. Ruins their testimony. Ruins their life. Ruins their families. And then he says, resist steadfast in the faith. We have to resist the devil. Not be deceived by him. Not follow after him. But many Christians do that. That's when they get backslidden. Resist steadfast in the faith. Faith is the victory, the Bible says, that overcomes the world. So Satan is constantly deceiving. hindering, tempting, distracting. And don't forget, Satan has a large army of demons assisting him, helping him. You say, well, preacher, not everybody believes in Satan and the demons. I know. Do you know why? Because they're deceived by Satan and the demons. That's why they don't believe in it. Hey, look, first of all, the Bible has a lot to say about Satan and the demons. So if you believe the Bible, you have to believe in the existence of Satan and demons. Furthermore, if you're not too sure about this, you turn on the television about 10, 15 minutes, you'll see the devil at work pretty quickly. All these filthy TV shows. Just the other day, Carl and I and our wives and a few others, we took out Brother Miller for bite to eat in the diner. And the diner had a TV show on. I was trying not to watch it, but, you know, it's just distracting. It's right there, and I was sitting right there. And it was the filthiest thing. It was a cartoon, a dirty cartoon, in a diner on a Sunday night. Look, you don't believe in demons. You watch that filthy devil vision about 15 minutes. You see enough devilish stuff to want to make it throw up. Wicked. So the world of flesh and the devil. Backsliders avoid godly Christians. Backsliders like to watch junk like that on TV. That's the kind of appetite. They have no more appetite for the Bible, but they play appetite for garbage. They love that. Dirty TV, rotten music, you know, trashy stuff. They avoid Christians. They prefer associating with their worldly companions. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived. Evil communications, that means evil companions, the wrong kind of friends, corrupt good manners. So backsliders are corrupted by associating with the wrong kind of people. Look, I'm not saying a Christian shouldn't have unsaved friends. In fact, we should do everything we can to win them to the Lord. Invite them to church. Witness to them. Do everything we can. But if they show no interest in getting right with God, and you keep hanging around with them, you're going to start doing the things they do and thinking like they do. Be careful hanging out with the worldly crowd. That's how people get backslidden. Associate with the wrong kind of people. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Ever think about that? Filled with his own ways. Full of self. And beloved, when self is on the throne, where's God? God's off the throne. Because self has replaced God. Self is on the throne. And when self is exalted, the Holy Spirit is grieved. That's very clear. Well, that's the cause of backsliding. Self is on the throne, not God. Well, that's the cause. Let's look at the results of backsliding. Let's look at the results of backsliding. Well, backsliding results in broken lives, broken homes, broken hearts. There are many examples of that in Scripture. Just think about Lot. Yeah? Someone said this, Lot got his daughters out of Sodom, but he couldn't get Sodom out of his daughters. Ever think about that? Lot lived comfortably in Sodom. He fit right in. A backslider starts to feel real comfortable around worldly people. When he was walking with God and living right, he was uncomfortable around them. He knew there was a big difference between the saved and the unsaved. Darkness and light can't mix together. He knew there was a real problem there, and he was careful around unsaved people, guarded in his comments and what he say, and trying to share the gospel. But then he gets backslid, and he fits right in. Laugh at their dirty jokes. Huh? Go along with their foolish talk. So Lot lived comfortably in Sodom. He kind of blended in, and that's what backslider does. How about Demas? The Apostle Paul said this, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Having loved this present world. The backslider loves this present world. And what did we say earlier? Love not the world. Neither things that are in the world. Right? If any man loves the world, love the Father's not in him. But the backslider loves the world. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Backsliders have left their first love. Remember that letter in the book of Revelation, first letter of the seven letters to the seven churches? Letter to Ephesus, Revelation 2:4 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Why? Because thou hast left thy first love. Thou hast left thy first love. In other words, when you were saved, you were zealous for the things of God. You had a heart for God. You really wanted to be in church every time the doors were open. You're reading your Bible every day. You really couldn't get enough Bible. You were praying, learning how to get a hold of God in prayer. But you left your first love. Left your first love. Now you don't love God anymore. Now you love the world. You're worldly. That's the results of backsliding. The backslider loves the world. The backslider loves his worldly friends. The backslider loves himself, but he doesn't love God. Now, some backsliders might take offense and say, Pastor Bunker, you have no right to tell me I don't love God. I'm telling you what the Bible says. You can say all you want, you love God, but my Bible says, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But the backslider doesn't keep God's commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. The backslider doesn't keep God's commandments because he doesn't love the Lord. So what do you mean by that? Well, didn't God, doesn't the Bible say we're commanded to go and tell the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Are we commanded? Go and tell the world, preach the gospel to every creature? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Is that a commandment? Yes, it is. Backslider doesn't do that. He's not sharing the gospel with others. No. In fact, sinners, even the backslider's close family members and friends, could go to hell. But the backslider doesn't care. Doesn't care if they're all going to hell. He won't do anything to try to stop them from going to hell. He won't do anything to try to win them to the Lord. Because he's backslidden. He's like spiritually paralyzed now because of his backslidden condition. He just doesn't seem to care. Well, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Lord commanded us to attend church services. Some people avoid it. He says, let's go to the book of Hebrews. I really feel strongly about this because so many backsliders, they don't take the Lord's Day seriously. They don't take the local church seriously. They don't take the tithe seriously. And it's a big problem. So, let's look at the Bible. Book of Revelation. I'm sorry, that's your Revelation? I always think an Irishman for what he means, not for what he says. Book of Hebrews. Not forsaking these, something of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. So, the backslider forsakes the assembly, forsakes church attendance. He doesn't want to support the church financially. Like I said earlier, let's face it, if all our members, or even a large number, were to get backslidden, we'd lose the building. We couldn't afford to pay the mortgage. You say, does the backslider want to close the church down? Maybe not, he wouldn't come out and put it that way, but that's what's the result of his actions. That's the problem, you see. He avoids church. The backslider avoids church the way a criminal avoids the police, right? When a criminal, when he's a thief, a pickpocket, you know, somebody who robs gas stations, he sees a cop car, he's going to hide out, you see? And a backslider avoids church. He avoids Christian people, too. Because he knows the Christian might say, well, you better have seen him in church. Hey, what are you doing smoking a cigarette? Hey, mister, what's that with the earring on you? The earring. Boy, you really got backslidden now. Wearing earrings? Huh? I mean, boy, it's getting kind of quiet around here. Amen! You see, you think every Christian who wears an earring, every Christian man who wears an earring is backslidden? Well, I'll let you be the judge of that, but I think it's worldly. I don't approve of it, that's for sure. The backslider loses all influence for good. Does a backslider sit among sinners in a worldly party and suggest they start praying and read the Bible? Do you think so? They're sitting around, you know, worldly music's playing. Some people are smoking cigarettes. Some are smoking who knows what else, drinking booze. The backslider, hey, let's have a prayer meeting. I don't think so. Does a backslider pull a New Testament out of his pocket and say, I'm going to read some scriptures? No, I don't think so. He's lost all his influence for good. Because he's lost his zeal for God. In any event, he knows if he was to try to suggest praying or reading the Bible, they'd laugh him to scorn. And so he keeps quiet. He loses power with God. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Did you hear that? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You say, can a backslider pray? There's only one prayer he should pray. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my backslidden condition. Lord, please help me get back on track. restore me. Those are the kind, that's the kind of prayer a backslider should pray. All other prayers, he's wasting his breath. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66, verse 18. The backslider is a lot like Samson, who did not know that the Lord was departed from him. Remember that? He said, oh, I'm going to send it. He didn't know. He didn't realize. He wished not the Lord had departed from him. Judges 16, 20. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. What does that mean, to be filled with your own ways? Ever think about that? I'll be honest with you. For many years, that verse kind of puzzled me. I mean, I knew the backslider started in the heart. That's pretty obvious. But filled with his own ways. It means the backslider's heart is filled to the brim with foolishness, worldliness, and sin, and disappointment. The backslider seems to enjoy his sin for a season, but it's a short season. It's only temporary. A preacher named Payson said, the symptoms of spiritual decline are like those which attend the decay of bodily health. It generally commences with a loss of appetite. In the case of a backslider, lack of appetite for prayer, for reading the scriptures and devotional books. Whenever you perceive these symptoms, be alarmed, for your spiritual health is in danger. Apply immediately to the great physician for a cure. I'll get to the cure in a couple of minutes. But I think that's a very interesting comment. He's saying the symptoms of a backslider are similar to the symptoms of a sick man. A sick man doesn't have any appetite. His wife will say, eat up something. It's good for him. No, I can't eat. I'm so sick. And the backslider has no appetite for the things of God. The Bible? Yes. Pray? No. No appetite for the things of God. That's the problem with the backslider. A friend of mine told me that I knew his dad, a preacher friend of mine. His dad was a preacher, too. I knew his dad and heard him preach a few times. Anyway, I asked about his dad's death. He said, you know, brother, I knew my dad was going to die soon. I said, how'd you know that? He stopped eating. Didn't want to eat. Kept saying, Dad, eat something. No, I can't eat. After that, it was only a matter of days he was gone. You know, in like manner, backsliders are dying spiritually because they've lost their appetite for the Word of God. Lost their appetite for prayer, fellowship, attending church, and so on. Well, we looked at the cause of backsliding. We looked at the various symptoms, the results of backsliding. Let's look at the cure for backsliding. The cure. Thank God there is a cure. Jeremiah 3, verse 22 says, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Ever think about that? Heal. That means backsliding is a spiritual disease. And only God can cure it. No doctor in this world can cure a backslider. Only the great physician can do that. Return, ye backsliding, and I will heal your backslidings. Now, what does that mean, return? It means repent. The backslider is going the wrong direction. God says, return. Come back to the Lord. Going the wrong way, backslider. Turn around. Go back to God. And he will restore you. God does restore the backslider. So there's only one cure. The only cure for backsliding is repentance. That's it. The only cure. Now, let me say this, too. Some people are, you know, disagree on this, but I'll give you my opinion on this, my interpretation of this. I think it's important to distinguish between a backslider and an apostate. I realize some people use the terms interchangeably, but to me there's a difference between a backslider and an apostate. Webster's Dictionary says a backslider is an apostate, one who falls from the faith and practice of religion. Now, I love the Webster's Dictionary and use it often, but I don't agree with that definition. I believe a backslider is a professed Christian. And I say profess because sometimes we don't even know if they're saved in the first place. Only God knows. Only God knows. We accept people on their profession of faith. We baptize people on their profession of faith. We look for some evidence of the new life, but only God knows if they're really saved or not. So I'll just say a professed believer. All right? I believe a backslider is a professed Christian who has stopped living for God. And while it is true that could also describe an apostate, I believe there's a distinction. So stick with me. H.A. Ironside, one of my favorite Bible teachers, he said this, the backslider is one who fails to carry out the truth of his profession into his life. The apostate, on the other hand, gives up the truth entirely, even denying the Lord. This proves his falseness, whatever his previous profession may have been. Now, you might say, well, didn't Peter deny the Lord? Yeah, but he repented. Amen? He repented. And God greatly used him. You read that in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, and so on, and the two epistles he wrote. So Peter certainly was backslidden, no question about it. But Peter repented. Isn't it interesting also, the Lord warned Peter, Satan wants to sift you, that I'm praying for you. The Lord warned him. The Lord said, you're going to deny me three times, Peter. And he still denied the Lord after that warning. Like I said, we all have that bent towards backsliding. It's in each and every one of us. But there is a distinction between a backslider and an apostate. Apostasy is a permanent condition. Backsliding, generally speaking, is a temporary lapse. However, and I want to make this clear, if the backslider does not repent, God could kill him. God kills backsliders on a regular basis. I've seen quite a few die over the years. We had a man here who was a backslider, and a really notorious backslider. He was in Atlantic City. In fact, I remember when he started going in the backslidden direction, I went over there with Brother Jose, who at that time was a deacon in our church. I went over there, and we pleaded with him, and we got on our knees and prayed with him. He said, "Don't, Lord, help this man. He's going the wrong direction. He's got a bitter spirit. Help him." And we prayed, but he still continued in his backslidden direction. And he was in Atlantic City, and he pulled down the lever on a slot machine, and God killed him right there. And he was healthy. He was a contractor. He was only in his 40s. God killed him. And I can give you many other examples, too. That's probably one of the most, strangest ones. I mean, I never heard of a man just pulling a lever on a slot machine and dropping dead right there. I went to his funeral. His son pulled me over and said, "Pastor, was my dad saved? Is he in heaven right now?" Boy, don't you hate it when someone asks something like that? Man, my heart felt like a stone. I said, man, I wasn't prepared to answer that question. Let's hope and pray you were saved. I said, only God knows. I said, I'll say this, when he first came to our church and I baptized him and he made a profession of faith, he certainly gave evidence he was saved. He was living for God for a while. I hope he was saved. I said, he might have committed a sin unto death. 1 John 5:16 says there is a sin unto death. God does kill backsliders. If they don't repent, they keep at it. God says, that's enough! And God turns the lights off. Many backsliders have died suddenly and unexpectedly because God was fed up with them. Fed up with their backslidden condition. And God judged them accordingly. Beloved, the only cure for backsliding is genuine repentance. Not half-hearted, wishy-washy repentance. I'm talking about real, genuine repentance. You say, what do you mean, Pastor, half-hearted, wishy-washy repentance? I'm talking about, I've seen people come forward at the invitation, even crying, and they go right back and do the same thing. Is that real? If it's real, you're not going to go back and do it again. I've seen it too many times. It's not genuine. Genuine repentance results in a genuine change. You know, back in December 1863, a long time ago, during the Civil War, the Atlantic magazine published a short story written by Edward Everett Hale entitled The Man Without a Country. It's a fictitious story of an army lieutenant named Philip Nolan who was tried as an accomplice at Aaron Burr's trial for treason in 1807. So it was a realistic story because Aaron Burr was, of course, an historical figure, and he was tried for treason in 1807. But, of course, Philip Nolan was a fictitious character. Anyway, he was tried as an accomplice at Burr's trial for treason. During his testimony, Philip Nolan bitterly renounced his country, and he shouted, "I wish I may never hear of the United States again." Wow, the courtroom was shocked, and the judge was shocked at that statement. And because of this terrible outburst, he was consequently court-martialed for treason and sentenced to spend the rest of his days out at sea, without so much as a word of news about the United States. No one was allowed to even give him a newspaper. In fact, I read the story. What they did is they would cut, if they gave him a newspaper, they cut out any reference to America in it. Like, say it was an English paper or something he could read, and they would cut out the any reference to the USA. So he was sentenced to spend the rest of his life out at sea, without so much as a word of news. No one was allowed to talk to him about the USA. The judge was so disgusted and shocked at his outburst that after convicting him, he exiled him and sentenced him to life on U.S. Navy warships. The man was transferred from warship to warship, boat to boat, and was not allowed ever again to set foot on U.S. soil. Well, I was thinking about that interesting story because I said, you know, the backslider is a lot like a man without a country. Think about that. The backslider is like a man without a country. He doesn't really fellowship with Christians, and yet he really doesn't belong to the unsaved crowd. If he's born again, he doesn't really fit in with the unsaved people, but he doesn't really fit in with God's people either because he's backslidden. He's out of fellowship with God and out of fellowship with God's people. So he doesn't really fit in. He's like a man without a country. I thought about that. He doesn't belong to either group, saved or unsaved. Think about Lot. When Lot tried to stop the lascivious sodomites from molesting his guests, the scornful sodomite said, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. Sodomites had no respect for Lot. And the worldly crowd has no respect for a backslider. He doesn't really fit in with them. And then when Lot tried to warn his sons-in-law that God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, remember what happened? They didn't take him seriously. They thought he was mocking. They could not take him seriously. Genesis 19:14 says, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They thought he was joking around. They couldn't take him seriously because of his worldly ways, his backslidden condition. And I mentioned Peter. I guess Peter's the most famous backslider in the Bible. But the good news is Peter did repent. So there is a cure for backsliding. Peter, the night that Peter denied Christ three times, remember he was sitting outside the courtyard of the palace, warming his hands? The sinners didn't trust him. The unsaved didn't trust Peter. He was like a man without a country. Denied the Lord, but didn't fit in with the sinners either. They didn't want him around. A damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied. He denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him. I'm reading, by the way, from Matthew 26, verses 69 and following. And anyway, he went out into the porch. Another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. In other words, your accent gives you away. We can tell you were with Jesus of Nazareth. Then began he to curse and to swear. A backslider will even start cursing and swearing. Oh, when he was walking with God, he would never use a bad word like that. When he got saved, God cleaned up his mouth. Gave him a new vocabulary. And he wouldn't never use bad words. But now, the Bible says, Peter began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Here we see the bitter tears of a backslider. Heavenly Father, we